when disaster strikes. Will you be ready?
Good evening, and we begin tonight with the monster hurricane and its deadly impact already.
When all hope is gone, will the government be there for you? If you're looking for ways to take your prepping to the next level, then you've come to the right place. Broadcasting from a secure and well-prepared location, it's time for Prepping 2.0. And now, please welcome authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome, everyone, to Prepping 2.0. This is one of your hosts today, Shelby Gallagher. Welcome, everyone. Normally, I go right into when I say, and with me today is my co-host, Glenn Tate, and he is not with us today. I'm winging it. So I'm really excited, and I'm glad that we have a very special guest today. For those of you who've read my books, A Great State, and you can find those on our website at prepping2-0.com, you are familiar with the sun figure in those books, and Joel. And Joel is based on one of my sons, my youngest son. And I wrote those books when he was just a little guy. Like 4 years ago. To him, it seems like forever ago. To me, it seems like yesterday. So he's going to join us today because we want to talk about, as we unfold into this collapse that we're in, we're just going to call it what it is. What are your kids thinking? How are they feeling about all this? How are they coping with it? He and I have done a couple of deep dive conversations, and I've always kept thinking this is a good conversation to have with prepping 2.0ers. And I've also had some fans reach out to me and ask me, how do you talk to your kids about this? And I was telling Joel earlier, I said, you know, we as parents, we have no playbook for this. It's not like we can say, you know, back in, you know, when I was 12 and there was riots, a pandemic, and forest fires going on all at the same time, this is how my parents handled it. We don't have that. We have no, you know, no resource in our experience to parent kids through all of it. So it's going to be a really cool show. And I hope you hear his voice and hear how you can maybe talk to your kids better. He and I have had some pretty good conversations about this, and we've had some pretty good conversations about how what happens if someone comes on our property and attempts to start a fire, and those sorts of very practical things. So who knows, we might get into some of that. But I always like to talk about some of the things, I'm going to talk about some of the things that Glenn and I normally talk about, and that's the top 100 list. And that top 100 list, the first top 100 things that disappear quickest in a collapse, you can find that on our website at prepping2-0.com. We're on number 81 this week. Number 81 is kind of fun. It is, let's see, plastic sheeting for insulating windows and other shelter creation. So all that, just, you know, I always think about all this stuff that comes into Amazon that's wrapped in plastic. And yeah, get a couple of rolls of that. I think that could be really helpful for so many things. I have a couple rolls for just repairing my greenhouse. If I don't know. Joe will laugh at this. He was there. When a dog decides to eat its way through the side of the greenhouse, and he's smiling as I say that, based on a true story. So I encourage you to look at that list. These days with what's happening, it's a shopping list, truly. Always wanted to stop for just a minute and say huge thank you to our sponsors who support what we do here. And you can find all of these folks again on our website under friends and affiliates. And many of them have coupon codes specifically just for Prepping 2.0 listeners. Numana Foods, they deal in bulk freeze-dried food that are great for deep preps. Good folks over there. EMP Shield have developed technology that will protect your thing, whether it be a car, a home, a building, from an EMP. Which is great. And they do great stuff over there, especially with some of the threats for an EMP that we've had recently. Backwoods Home Magazine. We get ours, I think it is every other month or every quarter. Such a resource. Have it sitting on our coffee table, and I read through those every day. Not every day. Every time it comes in, because I get so many good ideas from it. And then their latest one, so fun, Minute Men, plural, Minute Men Coffee. Oh my gosh. Shelby's life has vastly improved because We have awesome coffee, and Joel is laughing. Minuteman Coffee, there's a special I Miss America blend. You can buy it in a big quantity, like pound quantities, on their website. We have on our website under the shopping page where you can get one of our Prepping 2.0 mugs and a quarter pound of the coffee, so just a little bit of it, and kind of a little gift pack. So I do believe they have a coupon code too. So there's all kinds of ways to get Minuteman Coffee. Encourage you to check out all of those ways. The other thing that's coming up, and it's coming up really soon, encourage you, if you are in the Pacific Northwest, to think about doing this. The Panhandle, it used to be Inland, the Panhandle Preparedness Expo. Joel is going to be there with us on October 3rd and 4th. It is in Sandpoint, Idaho, at Bonner County Fairgrounds and the big complex they have there. This is a great prepping expo. Glenn and I go to several throughout the year, and all of them up until this one have been canceled because of COVID. And they decided just recently to continue to host it this year. And from what I can tell, it is going to be massive, because I think a lot of people realize this is going to be, as Glenn says it, it's the prepping Woodstock. It's going to be kind of our last big meeting here in the Pacific Northwest before Election Day, when things will probably get a little spicy, as he would say. So encourage you, we will be there. And now, if you can only come like on the Saturday and not the Sunday, or the Sunday and not the Saturday, that's fine. It's not like a 2-day event. It's a prepping expo that lasts 2 days. And so we will have books there to sign. We'll have some of our merch. We've got some new merch that we're bringing there. And we're excited to kind of get out of the house and see some of our people. So we're going to take a deep breath here. This is going to be really good. I've wanted to have this conversation for a long time. So I want to introduce our guest. He is taking a big yawn and stretch right now. Our guest today, my son, Joel. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Good. So I've kind of prepped him with some questions I wanted to ask and things that he wanted to talk about. And this all kind of started, I'll say this, about a month ago. About the end of August or so, middle of August. And there had been and by the way, he has a cold. He doesn't have COVID. He has a cold. How do I know? I take his temperature about once every 2 hours. So he's fine. He's just a cold. That's the other thing. You can't just be sick these days. It's either you're COVID or you're 100%, right? Right. He's nodding. So anyway, going back to the conversation about a month or so ago, after some particularly bad something with the riots in Portland, Seattle, all of that, and whatever. I think it was in another city, actually. Something tragic had happened. And I sat him down one night and I said, how do you feel about all this? And his answer to me was, and it started about a 20-minute conversation, then we all got tired, but basically scared. It's scary stuff that's happening. So let's talk about that. Let's go back to that conversation. Tell me what that meant to you. Tell me more about how you felt scared, Joel.
Well, a lot of new things are happening, and not everybody knows how to deal with them. So when you're getting faced with these new, big, scary things, like riots, like huge riots, people are throwing Molotovs, burning buildings down. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, to see all that, just big corporations just come down and then small businesses just get completely torn apart. Mm-hmm. It's sad and it's scary, because it could happen anywhere.
Right. And it's happening every day. It's not just, oh, they had a riot one afternoon. This is constant every day. So, yeah. So when you say that you're scared, it's scary to watch it on TV. I understand that. What else are you scared for?
Scared for my future, because it's very uncertain right now. Also scared of, because it could happen anywhere. It's not just some people on, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Mm-hmm. Just saying, hey, let's get together and go riot. No, these are organized attacks on certain places to prove a point. And that is just short of terrorism.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing, and you and I have talked about, I don't even know what the point is they're trying to prove anymore. Yeah.
Me either.
But let me know if you know.
No clue.
Okay. So let me ask you this. And we talked about this too. One of the things for you personally, and let's talk about this and kind of flesh this out a little bit. Your future has changed. What does that look like for you? And kind of flesh that out. Explain that to people. Because there's people out there that don't have a 15-year-old, or their kids are grown, or their kids are super little. I mean, what does that look like for you? Because you're in high school, mm-hmm. and you've now gone through the last part of last year, kind of crippled, when you all had to go home in March. And now we're kind of starting the school year crippled, not doing school and not doing sports, not doing all of that. So, think about that and flesh it out a little bit. Yeah, well, go ahead.
It was supposed to be my second year for sports. I was really excited for that because I really get to prove my skills and all that. Now that's not going to happen anytime soon.
And I'm a three-sport athlete.
I am. Mm-hmm. And just seeing all of that just get stripped away that's crazy. And it kind of hurts. And I can't even imagine what seniors right now are going through, because some of them, this is their last effort, this is their future, you know. Their future.
And what does that mean when you say sports is their future?
Some people, when they grow up, they don't have access to all this, you know. They grew up in poverty, mm-hmm. and so they see sports as a way out, like a new way of life, a second chance.
Right.
And now that we don't have sports, what?
And you're a senior, and you need to show.
Exactly. If you're a senior and you grew up in poverty and you have sports and sports is the only thing for you, imagine just getting that taken away from you in an instant.
Yeah.
Your whole future gets taken away from you.
Exactly. Exactly. And I see it also, too, with some of the college athletes. They're like, no, we want to play. We want to play because they are going for NFL, NBA, those sorts of. They're trying to. And we were just talking about this too. You hear professional athletes say it all the time. Yeah, I was born in poverty. I ate dirt. You know, my mom was struggling and worked six jobs. You hear those stories all the time. And those are the people we're talking about. Or they look at getting into college, knowing that that's going to get them a college degree, which will create a future for them.
Exactly.
So that, yeah, especially if you were a senior last year, this year. And I don't know what, I mean, you're not either of those, but it could, who knows, in a few years, we could be having this conversation about you. So how do your peers feel? I mean, have you had any conversation with your friends and peers about this? And what are they saying?
Most of my friends try to stay kind of out of it, because as we go into it, it gets more political and mm-hmm. more controversial. So most of my friends try to stay out of it, but some of them see this as a real big issue. This is crazy. We've stooped so low. Like, we've come so far just to fall so far. And all the riots, there's no reason for them. They see that too. They see no reason for destruction. This is pointless destruction trying to prove a point that doesn't need to be proven. It's already been proven. Mm-hmm. We don't need to go through this again.
Yeah.
So they see the same thing as I do.
So here's the question that I think everyone is going to dance around. We're just going to say it. Do you feel like we are collapsing? Yes or no. Do you feel like the American culture, the American way of life is collapsing?
Oh, definitely.
And how does that make you feel?
I don't even have the right words for it. It just makes me feel so empty because of what we've been able to accomplish before, and just see that all get stripped away.
It's sad.
Very sad.
It is very sad. So And it's sad for me to think that your friend, and I know that, and I know your friends, and I know, because I've seen them a lot during COVID as we try to get you guys together. And so, yeah, and there's some that are silly and some that are, and they're not necessarily going to talk to me because I'm not their parent or anything like that. But yeah, I see them, like what you just said, they're trying to avoid the political side of it because they don't really care. I get that. And they can't vote or anything like that. But it's also, they're scared. Like, the thought of, hey, let's go into the, nope, let's not go into the city, right? Let's not go to places where we've seen on the news. And that I get that. And then there's the flip side is that opportunities just do things around our home. Like, you know, when you have fishing and hunting and hiking and going places taken out of the equation, life gets really bored. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it definitely has happened. Life has gotten very, very boring with all the things getting shut down, mostly due to COVID.
Right.
And so.
Absolutely.
You just have to find ways to keep yourself not entertained per se, but keep yourself going. You have to have some sort of purpose for something. Because if you lose your purpose, you kind of lose your reason for, you know, life and all that. And you can become very, very, like, out of it. And, like, I don't want to say depressed. I don't know how, like,
bummed
another
out,
word.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Like, very, very, like, low. Like, a very low point. So you got to keep yourself from hitting that point. You got to have, like, a purpose or something that you can do to keep yourself, you know, going.
So for the parents out there who have reached out to me and said, please talk about how to, you know, parent kids. What would you tell that parent who has a kid who is just kind of floundering, who is kind of low and bummed out? What would you say, you know, try this. And yeah, people are looking for kind of practical advice here. So practical parents, advice from Joel.
Parents, as much as it is weird to say, and as much as your kids might try to seem like they are distancing themselves from you guys, hang out with your kids, man. Like, they value you guys so much. So the stuff that you do with them, and when you're, you know, when you're hanging out, or let's say you're going on a long trip with them, they value that. They see that. And so You gotta hang out with your kids, be there for them, tell them that things are gonna be okay, because after all this, it is gonna be okay. Stuff's gonna open back up. We're gonna get right back on our feet. It's just a matter of time. We just have to be patient, because everything is really unknown right now, but it will get better. So for all the parents, make sure that your kids are okay. You gotta keep them, you know, with you. Don't let them do whatever they want. Don't let them shelter themselves. Everybody's got to be together. Because if we're all together, we can get through this easier. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just be there for your kids. That's
very
what I want to say, be
so,
there for your kids.
I appreciate that, because that's, I've really tried to do that for you, and I think you're feeling it. Yeah, he's nodding his head. So what about that kid who says to his or her parent, mom, dad, I'm scared. This is really scary. Is somebody going to come set our house on fire? Is somebody going to come try to hurt us? Because some people who listen, a lot of people listen, actually, Joel, they're in the city. And when you hear of some of the, I mean, that's kind of crazy stuff. What? And that's not necessary. If you had said that to me, bless you. If you had said, I'm scared, I would say that's just because of who I am, and you know who I am. All right, let's plan. What are we going to do if somebody, so what would you say to that? Somebody's scared for a valid reason, I guess.
Well, thinking about it from a younger person's point of view, you got to reassure them. Reassure them that it's going to be okay and we're going to make it out. I mean, don't just tell them that. You have to explain to them
why it's going to be okay.
Exactly. Because we don't see the full picture. We only see partial parts of it. Mm-hmm. So we gotta like see the whole scope. So you have to tell us why it's gonna be okay. Because mm-hmm. we ask the practical questions and the questions that have multiple parts to it. So yeah, you gotta like reassure them, be there for them, tell them it's gonna be okay, make a plan for if stuff does go south, and then act on that plan. Mm-hmm. So
in an example of that, because it was a concern for us, and it kind of still is with the forest fires, the wildfires that have really just swept through and just completely scorched the Pacific Northwest. We probably live in one of the few places that hasn't been torched, but boy, I'll tell you what, the air quality is awful. But and it is a concern when you talk to and you hear stories of people in rural communities like us who suddenly this person comes out of the bushes, you know, with a Molotov cocktail. And it's been happening. I don't care what the news says. I don't care how much law enforcement's trying to downplay it. It's been happening. And you don't have 100 fires start in one day during a wet season. So we had a plan. I sat down with you and I said, okay, we have game cams. If we see any odd vehicles that we don't know, one, we're going to act on it. And two, one of us is going to go towards the person. Another one of us is going to go, and we have like 10 fire extinguishers too. We're going to put that fire out because that's one thing that can absolutely ruin everything that we have right now. And we put a plan together and we made sure that we know who's coming on our property and when and what to do if that person is a threat. So, in and of itself, and I have to watch our time here. We only have a couple of minutes. In that conversation, it is a concern for me as a parent that I'm scaring you. Is that scary when I say, all right, if somebody comes on our property, one of us is going to take care of the person that's the threat, and the other person's going to take care of the fire that's a threat? Is that scary to you? And I think for it depends on the age, too.
It does. It really does. Also, it depends on the person and their views of everything. For me, it is not that scary because of like where I've grown up and how I've had to deal with this like before. So for me, it's not scary. For other people, it can be very, very scary. So you have to kind of say it in a way, as to not, you're not trying to shelter them away from it, mm-hmm. but you kind of like give it to them in parts.
There you go.
So like, say we're going to take care of them and they're going to, you know,
dispatched from the property. I like that. We've had very specific conversation about that, about what's going to happen to that person. Yes. And we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, good. So we have about 45 seconds here. So we're going to kind of wind down. We have so much more to talk about with Joel. And it's been, I have to just say, this is kind of fun, kind of hashing this out with you. It's all the conversations we've had over the last couple of months, all in a 30-minute segment. But I will say this, though. Truly, Joel, the person sitting in front of me, is Joel from my books. Times about 10. In the books, he's 11, 12-ish years old, and you're 15. And you're a little warrior, and you make me so proud in how you have handled all this and how you've taken it in stride. So, folks, we have so much more we want to talk about. We're going to hit on a couple. I have a couple seconds here. We're going to talk about how people act wisely and unwisely during all of this, and how traditional maybe opportunities have changed a little bit. We're gonna flesh that out. Cheated out of opportunities, and what are Joel's thoughts on Black Lives Matter? And I think that's going to be an interesting. I don't know the answer to that question. So, folks, don't go away. We have so much more to talk about.
We'll be right back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate right after this.
Shelby Gallagher here. We found that you need to layer your food preps.
Yeah, this is Glenn Tate here. A lot of times the hardest part of layering is the long-term foods. We love Numana foods, which have a 25-year shelf life and are non-GMO. Also, organic meals are available.
Numana comes in family-style portions and in bulk. This is not backpacking food. It's family meals that last for at least 25 years, the perfect freeze-dried part of your food layering.
You can get a sample of Numana meals for $19.95 and see for yourself. You will be amazed.
Prepping 2.0 listeners get a 10% discount by entering the code PREP.
Go to numana.com or click the link on the Prepping 2.0 website.
Give it a try. Numana.com. That is N-U-M-A-N-N-A.com.
When the grid goes down, darkness will descend fast. Used to be there was nothing you could do about an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, or CME, coronal mass ejection. Now you can protect your electronics, protect your family, thanks to EMP Shield. EMP Shield invented a simple-to-install device that prevents whatever's connected to it from frying in an EMP or CME, and it costs just a few $100s. EMP Shield has been tested by independent laboratories and passed muster with the government, which has ordered lots of them. Google EMP Shield and see for yourself. And save some money. Get a $50 discount per device. Go to prepping2-0.com. Click on the Friends and Affiliates page, then click on the EMP Shield logo. At checkout, use coupon code PREPPING2.0. It's all one word.
PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Looking to meet other like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own prepper group? Already have a group? Join PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet has gathered the biggest names in the industry to help unite preppers everywhere. Join John Jacob Schmidt, Scott Hunt, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, Charlie Hogwood, Samuel Culper, Survivor Jane, Rick Austin, Franklin Horton, Ryan Mitchell, and Brian Duff. Our team is united. Check us out at PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. PrepperNet.com.
And we're back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome back, everyone. Shelby Gallagher here without Glenn Tate. And that's okay, because we have a really awesome guest with us today. This is my son, Joel, in, you know, in air quotes, because that's not his real name. But we're going to call him Joel today because he's the inspiration for my son, Joel, in my books, A Great State. And not to so that people don't think I left out my other son, my oldest son. He is the inspiration for the character of Johnny in the book. So I equal opportunity son stuff here, and he's fixing his hair. It's so cute. So a lot of the thing I really appreciate him coming on today and kind of giving the youth perspective as much as he can, with as much confusion is going on, as much as this collapse is going on, his kind of from his view, how to encourage parents to guide their kids through this as we kind of self-guide ourselves. And one of the things that we had talked about, and you remember the before the break, we talked about that conversation about a month ago when I said, how do you feel? And you said scared. And one of the things that came up in that conversation was, because we used to live in Portland. We used to live in the heart of Portland. And at that time, I was extremely concerned. I was already concerned about, because I'd already seen the 2016 riots that happened right around when President Trump was elected, and the whole resist, not my president. And there were already riots happening there. And at that time, they were contained to downtown. But I knew it wouldn't take much for them to go outside of downtown and cause havoc. And because of the riots happening downtown, the ability to call the police and have a response in our neighborhood was diminished because all the police were downtown. So it was very concerning to me. And that's what was one of the things that got me to writing my books. And that was the landscape and the lens I was looking at. And you were a little guy at the time, littler, it was 4 years ago. And what are your thoughts now, having lived in Portland when it was at, you know, and you grew up as you spent your younger years in Portland, and now we live in the woods, pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember I asked you at the time, when you think about Portland, you get scared. So tell us what that, flesh that out. Let's draw that out a little bit, because I think this is important for people to know fear factors based on location.
Okay, well, let's see. In Portland, there is a lot of, let's say gang activity.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. There was a murder rate in Portland before the riots that was unprecedented. Gang activity, a lot of retaliations. Go ahead.
And so when you also put riots on top of that, like mm-hmm. people going into places, destroying a place, looting, pulling down monuments, all that scares you, because you used to live right next to it. Yeah. Like, we used to literally live right next to where
some of this stuff is
really
happening.
Crazy stuff was happening.
Yeah.
And so when you see that and then you see what's going on now, it's kind of like a repeat, but like on a different level. Like, it is crazy.
On a worse level, would you say?
On a worse level.
Yeah.
Definitely worse level. So, because they're not just contained in downtown anymore. Like, there's outspurts of people going to random locations and causing havoc. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I used to do, I used to go skate every Monday. And,
yeah, like, do the skateboarding kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, we could have gotten attacked.
Yeah. I will say this. You may not remember this. You used to, or maybe it was your brother that used to play basketball, not at a community center.
That was by the
police precinct.
That was him.
That was him, not you. You were too little at that time. He used to play basketball by the East Precinct. That is the same precinct that is multiple times. And that precinct's literally right across the street from the community center. Mm-hmm. Also across the street from a school. It backs up to a mall. That East Precinct is not in downtown. That's multiple attempts to burn that building down. Multiple attempts. That was where you have the elderly person get accosted about a month or so ago because they're trying to leave a note on the police precinct door supporting the police, and the rioters just. I think they threw paint at that. Anyway, it was awful. Just awful, awful. And that's how close some of these things were to where we used to live. So that's hard for us. I hope people are hearing that in Joel and I, our voices, how hard it is to watch these places that used to be so near and dear to us collapse. And then on top of it, to see it happening, not just in Portland, this isn't all about Portland, in Pennsylvania, in New York, in Kenosha, in
Minnesota,
all over. Denver is having its own set of problems, you know. And then you have the fires, and that just makes it so that it's all over, literally, because as soon as the riots stopped, the fires began. I just think that's so coincidental. So it is. Would you agree with me, Joel? There's a little bit of grief there. It's like that's not the Portland we remember. And it's hard. So I don't know your answer to this at all. But I have a feeling I do because I know you. And we can talk about this as much or as little as you want. I'm looking at the time. We got lots of time. He's like stretching out and smiling here. What are your thoughts on, and we've had some talks about this. What are your thoughts on Black Lives Matter / Antifa? However, this is your, now, and people know this. You are my son. You are African-American, and you have an opinion on this. So I'd love to hear it, and I'd love for people to hear your opinion on this. So go for it, Joel.
Well, my opinion is Black Lives Matter when it started, it was great. Everything was perfect, and they actually did good things. Mm-hmm. But now it's just a hate group.
Yeah.
Like, I support my Black friends, and I support Black people. I don't support Black Lives Matter because all they do is if one thing goes wrong, they start burning down the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cause riots. They loot. They steal. They murder. They do all this stuff. They are just an organized group of hate to target it at different people.
Yep.
It literally is what it is. And what was it?
The co-president.
They even said that it's not even what it used to be anymore.
Yeah. It's just a Marxist organization, and their goal is to burn the place down.
There you go. And so that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's crazy to see that some people are so blind to the fact of that they still choose to support it and hate on other people for not. Like, I could see one example. TikTok has literally torn some people apart with this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, when it was the big problem, when, like, the riots and BLM was the big problem.
Like, last summer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It tore some people apart. Like, I remember seeing this black man getting his family business getting burned down and looted and torn apart, and I can just see the sorrow in, like, his face, because he's a black man getting attacked by Black Lives Matter. That's not how it's supposed to work.
No, exactly.
I thought Black Lives Matter was supposed to advocate for black lives, but they're not. And as soon as I saw that, something clicked. And it's dawned on me that Black Lives Matter isn't for Black Lives Matter. Lives Matter is for...
murder.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. It's for its own... It has its own little... They have its own little shadow in their good image. They have their wicked side.
Yes, they do. That's a great way to say that.
And their wicked side has now overcome their good image.
Yep.
And a lot of people are so blind that they cannot see that.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and you and I had a long conversation when this was all first starting. I would say, you know, a long time ago, July. I sat down with you and I talked about it on the K10C show. I went through the 10 points of Marxism with you. And we talked about how that's the hallmark of Maoism and communism and socialism. And we had the conversation about what when you think of a communist country, what do you think of China? And then that's communism. And what has that done for it? The regular citizens in China? Not much. It's communism, socialism. All of those isms are the antithesis of the American way, where you can be a young black kid in poverty and grow up and make something of yourself by sports or college.
And it's happened. One of the prime examples.
Yeah.
NFL football player Darnell Dockett.
Yeah.
He grew up poor and doing all this bad stuff. And look where he is now.
He's a leader amongst amazing. Yeah. Amazing stuff.
But when you start adding in all, you know, the Marxist, socialism, all that, that just takes that whole thing away. You can grow up dirt poor. You can have a penny in your pocket and still become a millionaire with what we have in place now.
In America. But, yeah. It's the American dream.
Exactly. But when you start adding in all this Marxism, socialism, all that, it just takes that straight away. And it makes everybody equal. Not, okay. Equality is good in a sense. Everybody can't be equal. And then we're not people. We're just robots.
Right.
So there will be inequality. That ain't going to change. And you can't change it. There's stuff that you just can't change. And if you try to change it too much, you lose your brain.
Well, you lose your individuality.
Exactly. You become a robot. And that's what's going to happen with us if we keep going down.
Well, what I think is so cool about the American way, the freedoms that we have and the Constitution we have, and I think you'll agree with me on this, is it's equal opportunities. In other words, everyone has the opportunity to go to school, go to college, do the sports. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. Could I go to college when I was 18 years old on a professional tennis scholarship? Heck no. Why? Because I'm not a tennis player. There's no way. I don't have that skill and that talent. I can go to college on other... In other words, we all have the equal ability to strive towards that goal, to strive towards that that makes us an individual and find success in who each one of us are. That is very different than the Marxist way, which is everybody, you will do what this, it's nationalized. Everybody does what the state says, what the government says, and everybody is paid equally. That leaves no room for opportunities. Leaves no room for the individual human to grow and to prosper. So, yeah, we've had some really deep conversations about this, which is really great. And so, there's the cough. No COVID here. So it's really interesting that I just think back, and I did a show on this where I had a quote, and I'm forgetting his name is Cash Kelly. That's his name. And had a quote from him, and I did it on the KHNC show. And you just almost said his exact words. And he's black, and he's not. And I showed you that video when he's sitting in his car doing a little live feed, and he's just being all cool. And he says, when will Black Lives Matter to Black Lives? And I did a, and you were, you may have come in the room. I can't remember. Did a Facebook live feed, and I was in tears because I'm, you know me. You watch me when I watch things like the First 48. I had to stop watching it for a while because the First 48 was this show that goes on and on. Basically, it's the first 48 hours of a police investigation of a murder. And so many times these are done in big cities like Cincinnati, Minneapolis, Dallas, Birmingham, New Orleans. And it is black on black murder. And it tends to have a drug culture involved, a gang culture. And it's just sad. And all I see is your face. And I hate to say that. And it's not that you're a murderer because you're not. But when I see these young men at 18 years old who have just, you know, walked into a room and shot it up because he was doing the gangster thing. And then he realizes he just killed his best friend. And now he's facing life in prison. And they go to, you know what I mean? That's just sad. That when Black Lives Matter to me. You know that. I came up to you about a few weeks ago and I said, you do know I'm not a racist, because if I was a racist, you would be my son.
Exactly.
And you would, and you know me well enough to know that. But Black Lives Matter to me. Your young life, when I watch these shows, in other words, I was getting so emotionally invested, I had to quit watching it. It hurts me to watch just this gangster, drug, poverty-stricken lifestyle. And I'm like, I need you guys out there and I'm pointing to you, but I mean you young men, African-American men, to your lives to matter to you. When that happens, stuff will get done. That, I think, is a big important thing. And you'll never hear the, burn, loot, murder, BLM movement talk about that. Would you agree with me on that? And I'm saying this to you, you're a young black man.
Yeah.
And I say it, I'm a racist. You say it, it's valid. I'm being funny. You know what I mean? So let's have we have about, let me look here. We have about 10 minutes. Let's have some happiness here. When we as parents have conversations with our kids. So we're going to go back to what can parents say to their kids? What are new opportunities or unique opportunities do you think? And this might be hard. We might have to kind of flesh it out between the two of us that kids might have now. And I have what you may not remember what you said a month or so ago, but you said something like, well, I'm not in school a whole lot. You know, you do your little Zoom classes for a few hours a day, but I would like to start my own online business. You know what I mean? So have you done anything else with that? I don't think you have because you've been working a lot. Actually, you've been working a job. You've been kind of busy. So what are other creative opportunities do you think young under 18 school age kids might have right now?
Well, one of the big ones, as much as some people hate this app, but one of the really, really big ones is TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can make funny videos and share it with people. And it's just a way to, you know, express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Most of people see it that way. Other people see it as a political platform. And those people are not cool. So,
well, I'm going to say this. And you and I have had a terse conversation. TikTok has it is developed in China, and it is a way that data is stolen from us. So, and our U.S. government has made sanctions saying if that doesn't stop, TikTok's going to be. Mm-hmm. So there, I think that problem is getting solved. But whether it's TikTok or take TikTok, Instagram, you know,
there's a lot of good. There's a lot of bad, but there's a lot of good. Like, think of it this way. You can make money expressing yourself.
And putting out a good message.
Putting out a good message, being funny, and all that. That's great. You can make a living. Some people actually do make a living off this. And so,
and I'm going to tell you this way: there are parents out there going, "Ugh, yeah, I know," because they don't want their kid, they don't want their kids attached to electronics. Sadly, that's the world. That's the world now. Yeah. And COVID made that even worse. Would you say
everybody having to stay home and everything being closed? The electronics, whether you like it or not, electronics are the new way of life.
They're here.
And you
yeah.
just have to live with that. So. But the way that I see it, if you're under 18 and you can't get a like full-time job because you have school, obviously, do what makes you happy, and you can actually make money off it, and you can be doing what you love. So that's how I see it.
Well, and let me throw this out there too. It's the things that you have done that you've been creative with haven't all been electronic. Haven't all been digital, I should say. You and your friends put together a cool little logo and were doing like shirt logos for a while. And I actually have one of your sweatshirts. I have two of them actually. So there's other avenues that folks can take. I also think that there's, things in the prepping world. The whole world is prepping right now. Thank goodness. So let me turn, I'm going to turn this on you a little bit. I'm going to surprise you with a question. So I'm going to let him cough. We've talked about it on this show, Glenn and I, plenty of times. When COVID came and all of the things that we do to prep, like went into full force, like put the foot on the gas and go for that first month, about April and May, we like every weekend, oh my gosh, right? We were moving stuff around. And so what are things that you, what are your observations of for people prepping at this time? And I'm talking about storing food, guns and ammo. You can't buy a gun or ammunition right now. That's at all. If you do find ammo, it's gone. It's only online and it's gone within a few moments. Gold and silver, because people in cash and all of that. Canning supplies in stores. You and I know a store where we can go find jars, but nothing else. So what are your thoughts on the whole prepping side of all of this? Do you have any thoughts?
I think it's great. I think it's a good practice to be in, and it's always good to be safe.
Yeah.
So when you're prepping, you're making a plan for the future, and you're making it a lot easier on yourself. Like, imagine, like, the whole toilet paper thing.
Yes.
When you're prepped and ready for this... you know, one vital thing goes missing and you have it, and then you see other people who are struggling because they did not prep, they did not have this one item that has just mysteriously gone missing.
And they kind of lose their mind a little bit.
They do. they lose their mind and they don't know what to do. And so when you're prepared for that, you can also, it helps your kids too.
In what way?
When you're prepped.
That's what I was hoping you would say. In what way? How does it help your kids?
It makes it seem like to your kids that you have a plan and it's not all up in the air and it's not all just
scary,
crazy and go with the flow. You have a plan set in place and you have something you can fall back on. And that is just peace of mind
right there.
That's
comforting to you, isn't it? I feel really good now. So what are things that you think kids can do to help their parents prep? And we only have a couple minutes.
We have about three minutes. Help them, you know, if they need to move stuff from one location to another, help them do that.
You've been really good about that.
Yeah. Run errands.
Mm-hmm.
Help them make lists, make supply runs, all this type of stuff. Just if they have a task they need to do, help them do it, because it makes the job a lot faster and a lot easier for everybody. And when it gets done faster, you have more time to, you know, be together as a family.
Absolutely. So I love that, because I will say this, I would say where you helped us the most is moving stuff around, like truckloads of stuff moving, because we have a couple of locations that we had to like consolidate. So there were a couple of long drives. There's a lot of heavy lifting, And there might have been some rodent grossness involved in that too on some of those tubs that we moved around. So there was that. You helped hose. Remember that? He's like bugging eyes. Remember having to hose all that down because it was so gross. Yeah. I mean, I will say this. You also helped me out quite a bit. And I need your help today, in fact, on this with the animals, with the chickens, and you have a rabbit and the greenhouse. And we cleared out a bigger garden plot. You helped me do that and rototill that under and dig up some of that and move rocks. And yeah, this has kind of kept you in shape a little bit too. And there could be another cough coming. I'm just warning you. So these are all things that I think what you're right. It keeps you busy so that we're not, you know, in front of the electronics so much. It gives you peace of mind and comfort that you're ready. You're not going to be one of these people freaking out that you don't have a bottle of water, you know, and then you're on TV flipping out. And there's so much unknown coming. You do know that you have food, water, all, you know, food,
shelter,
water, shelter, toilet paper.
Yeah.
That's important. And a way to defend the home. These are all very comforting things. So I have to say thank you for joining us today, joining me today, I should say. And I hope this has been helpful to parents out there. We have a few more moments. I do want to let folks know that in the after show today, it won't be Joel, but Glenn is going to join me here in a little while, and we're going to go through some more mailbag questions. So don't worry, there's an after show today. And I encourage you to quit being a lurker. If you're one of these folks that lurk and listen and wonder, should you become a Patreon? Should you not? It's kind of fun. A lot of folks have joined us over on Patreon and have loved it because they get a whole, it's basically the green room conversation, the conversation that you have after you've had a big meeting or something. So join us there. And I always want to leave folks with the great message from one of our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Have a great week, everyone. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate. All of the fun and easy prepping information heard on this podcast can be found online at prepping2-0.com. You can also find out more about Glenn's books online at 299days.com and about Shelby's books online at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.